Right, so let's start working with the opening of the Masechta. We gave a little bit of an introduction last week to the way we're going to try and learn, but for this evening, let's already get into the Gemara itself. I am recording it, and we'll put an MP3 file on the iAwaken website. We should probably create a link to the Shomer Shabbos website as well, so that you can download it. So if anybody wants to review, we can review at that time. Let's start with the Mishnah. So we talked in the little discussion that we had last week about the strange opening of the Masechta. Ha'ishon niknes b'sholosh drachim v'koines atzmo b'shtei drachim. The idea that the Mishnah of a Masechta so elevated as Kiddushin, dealing with the sanctity of the relationship between husband and wife, starts with a commercial kinyan. We began to explore that in the opening, but we'll get into it in more detail this time. Isha is acquired in one of three ways. V'koinois, that's more b'shtei drachim, and she can acquire herself in one of two ways. Niknes b'kesef b'shtar v'bil. The three ways by which she can be niknes is through kesef, shtar, and bil. What is kesef b'kesef? Be'shamay min b'dinah rav shav b'dinah be'shilul min b'frut rav shav b'frut. So there's a difference between be'shilul and be'shamay as to how much kesef it is. V'kama hi pruto echad mishmona b'yisra italki. And she can acquire herself with a get or with the death of the husband. A yevoma is niknes with only with beer, that's the only way, and is koina herself with chalitza misas hayovam, and we'll try and understand that more clearly as we go into the Rashi. The idea of you remember we touched on the idea of Baal, and we said a Baal doesn't only mean an owner. A Baal means a master in the sense of mastery, the same way as a Baal Midas is one who has mastered their Midas. And so here also a Baal, when an Isha has a Baal, when a man becomes a Baal, that's more than owner. That's somebody who has mastered that relationship, and we'll understand that a little bit more clearly too. And the idea of koine can mean acquire in a very commercial sense, and we'll see that aspect of it as well. But koine can mean something else as well. Somebody raised, who was last week, who said about koine hakol, but the Ribono Shel Olam is koine. That's right, that koine is not just what does it mean, a koine hakol? Who did the Ribono Shel Olam koine, who was he koine it from? The Ribono Shel Olam is koine hakol. What does that mean? Whose was it before the Ribono Shel Olam was koine it? Who did he buy it from? So you see that koine doesn't necessarily mean ownership through acquisition. What can koine mean? In the case of the Ribono Shel Olam, what does that ownership come from? Ownership through creation. There are two ways you can own something. You can own something because you've invested in it, and you can own something because you created it. And that's where the ownership of intellectual property comes from. Where does intellectual property? You create an idea. Why is it yours? It's yours because you created it, not because you bought it. So the creation, can you think of another case where the Torah put something in the reshus of an owner even though he never bought it? A bor, the Gemara says, is such a case where the Ribono Shel Olam gives, where the Torah gives the bor over into the ownership of the man who created the bor, although he never purchased the bor, never contracted for the bor. So sometimes kinyan means ownership through acquisition, and sometimes it can mean ownership through creation. So the Gemara says that a person is he's creating in that relationship. What is he creating? That's the top Tosfos. What is he creating? He's creating the second idea of Isha. Remember, Isha means a female in Hebrew, and Isha means a wife. And Tosfos says, let's have a look at the Tosfos even before we'll do the Rashi. Isha nicknames Kafatani Behei. Ha Isha Niknes. It's not Isha Niknes. It's Ha Isha Niknes. The woman. What is the woman? Who's the woman? V'chein kamaduchin gabi ish v'isha k'tani v'hei k'mo ha'isha shehocho, isha olof ba'ilo, isha shesalma, isha mekadish, v'koshet. Gemara says, but we see places where it's not so, v'yesh loima. Dehochi akrokoi. This is talking about a specific isha mentioned in the posuk. Klima ha isha ha mevureres befosuk dash gechona isha mevureres bekroa gabi nisuyin dichtiv ki yikach ish isha. When a man takes an isha, that's the isha we're talking about here. Tosafos goes on to explore the language of the Mishnah. It says you can't always learn all sorts of things out of the language of the Mishnah. Sometimes the Mishnah chooses words stylistically rather than for substance. But we still see that the Tosafos goes down this line, and there's no reason to reject that, even to the Maskon of Tosafos, that we're talking about ho isha being that idea of an isha that is introduced to us in the posuk of ki yikach ish isha, that a man can take a female and convert her into an isha, into a wife. And that he does through kinyan. So he creates isha. It's not just a matter of koine. So there are two elements, there are two things going on here. There's a kind of a kinyan, and we'll talk about that too. But there's something else happening here. There's a conversion process. A woman is being converted from a female into an ashes ish. And that's a completely different species. It's a different being. And it's interesting that it's not only halakhically different, the difference is palpable. The way a woman is when she's married and the way a woman is when she's single. And the transformation takes place at the chatan. Different person, she radiates a different kind of an energy, different sense of security, a different sense of settlement, a different sense of importance, a different sense of value. It's completely different. An isha, ha isha, the isha referred to in the pasuk of ki yikach ish isha, is a completely different being from the isha meaning a female, and that isha is created by a man who takes a woman to be his wife, chooses her, selects her, makes her exclusive, elevates her, sanctifies her, all the things that kiddushin is. That changes the woman from being a female into being ha isha. And so when we say ha isha niknes, there are two things happening. She's niknes by virtue of a kinyan, some kind of transaction which we're going to discuss. And she's also niknes because she's created. Ha isha niknes, so you can learn it, you can translate it also. An isha is created. Bishloisha drochi. A woman becomes an isha through three ways. Which explains why it's not ha isha koine, which is another thing that the Gemara goes into later on. But the sense of it's not just that he does it. Something happens to her. She becomes transformed from an isha meaning female into an isha meaning wife, and that's a different bria. That's a different kind of a human being, and that's created by the Baal. It's created in three ways. And just by the way,
the man doesn't become created.
No, the man doesn't change. The man doesn't change. Isn't ish before? Isn't ish afterwards? He doesn't change. The women are right, the men never change. It's not the same degree of transformation. If you see, it's not that easy to tell on a man whether he's married or whether he isn't, but it's very easy to tell on a woman whether she's married or whether she isn't. If the relationship is good. If the relationship isn't good, then all sorts of other things start happening.
Then he becomes a Baal. When he becomes a Baal, then he does change. He's mastered.
Because
his
skill, in other words, he's got, he's developed.
That's his transformation, is when he becomes a Baal.
Correct, but it doesn't change his halakhic status. That man, he doesn't become a Baal, any kind of isurim. But you know, there, it's true that we, you know, in terms of the way we practice things, there are certain limitations. But in terms of an inherent difference, he doesn't take on a different halakhic status. Same halakhic status, nothing changes. She was a besulo, now she's a beulo. She was a woman, now she's an ashes ish. All sorts. She's a different halakhic species, and she's a different psychological species. She might not be a different biological species, but she's a different psychological and halakhic species, and that's created through the act of kinyan. What's interesting in the act of kinyan as well, while we're on the semi-philosophic stuff, is that to understand the meanings of these kinyonim, they go further than a transaction, and we'll see that on Beis Amud Beis. It goes much further than transaction. When you buy a sode, or you buy a shor, or you buy a car, that's a transaction, and everything results from the transaction. This goes further than that. The kinyan, if we understand kinyan, is the means by which you make her yours. That's really what it is. The means by which you create that intimacy, the means by which you create that integrated relationship. Then if you look at Kesef, Shtar, and Bio, they are the three most important ongoing methods of communication in the relationship. Kesef is the willingness to constantly invest. generously. And that's not just a one-off. There's an understanding, and we'll see that also further on. We'll see the meaning. Sorry? Not just Sheris and Krusa, to take her out to dinner and spoil her. You don't have to everything doesn't have to have a technical halakhi. Just spend money on her. Spend money on her. That's what Kesef means. Take money out of your pocket and spend the money on her. That makes her feel like an Isha. That makes her feel like a kiyikoch ish ish, or somebody's investing in me. Not 40 years ago, somebody invested me under the chuppah and gave me a ring that was worth a couple of dollars. That's not the nature of the investment. It's ongoing. And we'll see in halacha, there are rishonim and achronim, behold, that the kinyan is an ongoing kinyan. It's not a once-off. That you invest constantly. I always say, when I learn this gemara with people, this mishnah with people, I always remind, I will tell them what I've always told my daughters. If the guy takes you on a date and doesn't pay, drop him. Okay? It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. That's it. You can offer to pay if you want to be polite. If he agrees, if he accepts, or if he says we'll go 50-50, that's the last time you see him. That's as easy as that. That's it. Because it's not going to work. The role of a man is to invest in his wife. And she responds and she reciprocates and she does all sorts of wonderful things. But he invests. That's kesef. And shtar... What is shtar? If kesef is the ongoing financial generosity, and why is financial so important? Why is it so important to invest kesef? Why can't you say, it won't be kesef? You know, the real equivalent of the ring that we give under the chuppah today is not the ring we give under the chuppah. The real emotional equivalent is what? Engagement ring. That's the end of the chuppah, people do it. But the concept of the ring is really the engagement ring. That's why some people are might be not to give an engagement ring, because it's a sofa kiddushin when you do it. The real emotional, the understanding of what being koino her with the kesef is the engagement ring. That's what she gets excited about. That's what she feels has been a real investment. And why is that so important? If he would come along and say, propose to her and say, please marry me, and she would say, yeah, sure, happy to marry you. And he says, okay, well, good, we'll go and have a l'chaim. And she says, not going to be a ring, we're not going to go to a jeweler. And he says, is it just about money for you? Is this just, this is about love, it's not about money. What is the, why money? Why is kesef important? Because kesef is the only thing that you can give to somebody else that costs you something. Everything else, shtar and beer, doesn't cost you anything.
What about time?
Time, Murachi also puts in time. But what really hurts most people usually find it easier to give time, to give love, to give anything. The thing people find it hard to do is put their hand in their pocket and take something out and make a sacrifice. Money that I could have spent on myself, I'm willing to spend on you. That's what kesef means. And that's why kesef is so important. That's why kesef is important to an employee as well, by the way. That might be one of the reasons that everything starts with that. If that isn't flowing, then there's nothing. If there isn't a willingness to take of your own and give it away to her, then your relationship isn't even beginning to be where it has to be.
But having just done this last week, it's the father-in-law who gets to be there, who's spending the money.
I will tell you something interesting. I'll tell you something interesting, Mark. About 35 years ago, I was in Hong Kong and I was stuck without any food. It was Shabbos. I had to go to Hong Kong last minute and the food that the hotel was supposed to, there was nothing there. In those days, there weren't a lot of frum people going to Hong Kong. But I'm sitting there on Shabbos with nothing to eat. A man walks into the hotel, a frum man, and says to me, he wants to ask me a favor. He's just come from Thailand. He's been in Thailand for weeks and weeks. His wife packed him a huge suitcase of vacuum-packed food. He's got lots of food. He doesn't have company. Would I join him for Shabbos? So I said, well, if it's really important to you, I'm not. it turns out that it was a pearl dealer from Brooklyn. And he says, I've got to tell you, I think that frum marriages are in trouble. And they're going to be in trouble in 10 to 20 years' time. And I said, why? He said, because I'm seeing the father-in-laws coming in. He says, I'm seeing the young boy come in to choose the string of pearls for his color, and he comes in with a girl's father. The girl tells him how much he has to spend. The girl's father tells him how much he has to spend. When he can't spend it, the girl's father says, well, I'll give you the money. You buy it, you give it to my daughter. He says, the whole meaning of the gift giving is gone. the whole, and he foresaw, but from what he was seeing, that we were going to hit the troubles which we're that we're hitting now. So it should be, kesef should be something that the guy takes out whatever he can afford, but it's something that hurts him, something that comes out of his pocket, something that he gives. That's what she needs. That's what's koina and isha. It's not koina and isha if his father buys it. It's not koina her. Doesn't do anything for her. It's nice that she can go around bragging that she's got a nice necklace or a nice ring or whatever it is, but it doesn't do anything for her. What does it for her in is when he makes a serious nefesh and he takes out of his pocket and he gives her something, and it's that way every Yom Tov when he buys her a gift, it's that way every birthday when he buys her a gift, it's that way when his son buys her some flowers or whatever it is. You thought of it and you went out of the way and you went to a store and you spent your money and you bought for me. That's koina and isha, and it makes him a bow. And without that, there's no bias. What about shtar getting a loan? Well, so not so good. What about shtar? What is shtar? If we stay in the area of psychology and philosophy for a moment, so what's shtar? If kesef is the generosity, what's shtar?
Accountability.
So shtar is kind of there's an element of legal accountability, commitment, and it's written.
There's an obligation that if you don't follow up.
So there's a bit of that. So this is obligation, this is commitment, this is security. So that's one element of shtar. And another element of shtar is, you know, that it's so interesting that women, 50 years after they got married, have still got the love letters that their husbands wrote them when they were seeing each other. They don't throw them out. That written word is worth a fortune. It's koina an isha, in a way that oral words don't. It's koina an isha. Shtar. That you write down, Hareat Mekudeshisli, you're special to me, you're set aside for me, you're mine, I will take care of you. A shtar is incredibly important. And that's something that should be ongoing. A man should send his women, his wife, lots of shtaris, emails. And the third one is Biel, the emotional and the physical relationship. Those are the three dimensions of a marriage. That's what's koine and isha. Those three things. Spend money on her, write to her, communicate like crazy, and have a good physical relationship. And ask any therapist as to what are the problems in marriages, and they'll say three: money, communication, and sex. Isn't that right? That's what's koine and isha. That's what keeps the marriage going. That's what starts the marriage. That's what keeps the marriage. So the whole thing, it's not just, of course, we're going to learn the Gemara with the halakhic technicalities, but it's not just about halakhic technicalities. It defines the very essence of the relationship between a man and a woman. And that's why Rashi starts off saying, Ha'isho niknes leba'alo. He is, not only is he a ba'al, in the sense of he will see that there is something that he does take ownership of, and he certainly masters her in a way, and but what's also important in Rashi is the adding of that hay at the end. Leba'alo. He is her Baal. There's a relationship here. It's not just he's a Baal. It's her Baal. She takes pride in that. Somebody who's chosen me. Somebody who's taken responsibility for me. Somebody who takes care of me. That's my Baal. So it's Baalo. Notice that contradistincts with Yevoma. Further on, how Yevoma nicknames, what does Rashi say? Leyovom. When does the man become a Baal? Before the Kenyan or after the Kenyan? When is he a Baal? After the Kenyan. What happens to a Yovam after the Kenyan? Is he still a Yovam? Or is he now a Baal? He should be a Baal. So if Rashi says, Hayisho niknes labalo, he should say, Hayovomo niknes labalo. He becomes a Baal after the Kenyan. Why is he still a Yovam? And look at Rashi further. So first, and it doesn't say le yovomo. It's not her Yovam. It's not that same kind of relationship. And then Rashi says, Bevio. It's only Bevio that the Kenyan takes place in Yibum. And look at that, Rashi. Liyos ke ishto, not ishto. She acquires the dinim of isha. But it's ke ishto. It's not proper ishto. He remains a Yovam, technically. He doesn't become a Baal. He becomes ke Baal. The halachas are like the halachas of a Baal, but he's not a Baal. Why? If you look at Rashi at the bottom of the Daf Lamed Beis, you'll see Rashi, the very last Rashi on Daf Lamed Beis will explain to you why he's not a Baal. Shekein zekuka v'oimedes, in the case of a Yobam, she's standing there ready to be for Yibum. Lazer, to this particular brother, Machmas Kidushe Hames. the kiddushin, the kinyan, was the mace made the kinyan. The brother made the kinyan. This is not a new marriage. This is not, he doesn't have to make her his. He doesn't have to be koineh, bekesev, and bishtar, in the normal sense of the word. Ve'in bio bo'el ligmer. And bio is just the gemar kinyan. The bio just transfers from the brother to him. Aval kinyan de bi koraloi. But it's not the original kinyan. So Rashi learns the whole nature of Yibum is completely different. And we'll see that separately. We won't go into that now. But we just see why Rashi says, Ha'ishu nikneis labaal. Here he's a baal. It's a new relationship that he creates. He becomes her baal. As much as she becomes his isha, he becomes her baal. She has a baal now. There's a relationship both ways. There's two ways relationship.
Is it only Yibum with the people that have children? And not get the Rishara? Why can't the Kenyan go to Kenyan one of the three?
Because it's not a new Kenyan. Because it's not a new Kenyan. The Kenyan already exists. So all he's got to do is take over from his brother.
So that question is, why only the Yibum then?
Why only Bia? We'll see that. Why only Bia? Why Bia is the only one that works? Because that's the actual physical continuation. It's not the creation of a new one. The Bia of a Yobon is completely different from the Bia of Kiddushin. And what is the main difference between the Bia of a Yovam and the Bia of Kiddushin? It can be Bal Kocha with the Yibum. She doesn't have to participate. Technically speaking, it can be Bal Kocha. So it's not a Kinyan in the sense of a transaction between two consenting people. And we can discuss why that is and how that is, but there's a very big difference. The Bia of Yibum and the Bia of Kiddushin are completely different. So in essence, there isn't that same kind of Kinyan. If you're having Kiddushin, you don't have in Yibum, because Yibum is a continuation of a Kinyan already created at the outset, and Kiddushin is the creation of a new Kinyan that didn't exist before, and it creates an entirely new relationship that didn't exist before. Yes, you can be Miyabim the Bal Kocha, because she agreed to that at the time of the original Kiddushin. When you say Kedas Moshe Yisrael, that means according to the halachas of Moshe Yisrael. Part of those halachas are, if something happens to me, you'll marry my brother. That's the deal. That's what she agrees to at the time of the original Kinyan. B'sholosh Durochim Kedim Mefarish V'Azil V'Hai Loshon Nekevah V'Gmor Aboya Amai Tani Loshon Nekevah. We'll talk about why it's Sholosh and not Shloshah Durochim. The koinus atzmo b'shtei drachim in the Rashi in the third line. The koinus atzmo liyus birushuso lihinose la'acher. So what is she koina herself? She's koina when if he dies or gives her a get, she is koina herself back in her own reshus over herself. Legabi what? What has she reacquired? Her rights of choice. That's what she reacquires. From that we see what he acquired. So what is it that he acquired at the time of the Kiddushin? It's only Kiddushin. She's not yet able to live with her. But what does he acquire? What does the Kiddushin do? It removes from her the choice to marry anybody else. That's the transaction. All that, she's not selling herself. She's not an object that is transacted. She's giving away a right that she previously held. That right was to marry whoever I please. After Kiddushin, I give that right up. I can no longer marry whoever I please. You hold the exclusive right to me. So at Kiddushin, he acquires exclusivity. How does he acquire that? And just let's pause there for a moment. He acquires exclusivity. What happens when you acquire exclusivity to an object? What happens to its value? Goes down. So it has no market value. There's no supply. There can be no demand, and there's no supply. Its economic value disappears as soon as you have exclusive rights to it. That's why you have to pay for exclusivity. If you want exclusive rights, you have to pay, because the person who loses the exclusive right, if you have a script for a movie and you give somebody exclusive rights to it, then that means you no longer have any value in it. You've given away the value.
Why have to pay Subhadan and do that?
Why should she have to pay you? You're gaining. She's losing value. Up till now, she could market herself.
No. So when someone's Madarish, then he's getting her that back, she should buy it back.
Oh, so the whole question is, why Kesef doesn't work by Gerushin? The Gemara goes into that. Why can she not buy it? Why? Yeah, well, you'd have to pay a Ksuba. That's on the original. But why you use it? Get why Kesef can't be used as part of the transaction of Gidin is one of the things the Gemara goes into. Because that's a Kosov. So what is it that she loses? She loses the by giving up her exclusivity, she loses value. By giving up her and giving him the exclusivity. Can you think of another case where you destroy the value of an object by making it exclusive? Hektish. That's exactly what happens with hektish. You destroy the value. You matdish something, it has no commercial value. It's the hektish is the hektish and the dorim are the only ways that you can destroy the value of an object without touching the object. Normally, if you want to destroy the value of an object, you have to destroy the object. With hektish and with nedarim, you can destroy the value of an object without in any way destroying the object. So if we've destroyed the value of this isha, what does she become? Mekudeshes. Same word. The idea of kodesh is an idea of sacredness, is an idea of exclusivity. It's not always... as we'll see on the next Amud, it's not Kodesh doesn't necessarily mean to Hashem. We use it in that sense, but you can have Kodesh is even is even the opposite. But we use
the Hekdesh, and you know you be put Hekdesh. Don't you be put Hekdesh on its street value plus you have to pay the
20%. Yeah, but that you have to pay. It has no market value. You can't sell something that's Hekdesh. It has no market value.
So if Reuben gives something
back
to Shimon, can't come and buy it off of.
No, no. I mean, Shimon can buy it. Can maybe buy it, but the object itself, the owner has no value. It has no value in the marketplace. It isn't. It's no longer traded. So by taking an isha and dedicating her to one baal, she loses her marketability and becomes mekudeshes. Now, what vehicle do you use to create hektish? What is the vehicle you use to create hektish? How do you do it? Dibu. You use language to create hektish. Now let's look at the Rashi. Bekesef uvishtar, mefarish bevraise, begemara. Noisen lo kesef oy shove kesef, ve'oymer lo hareyat mekudeshesli. You give her money or shove kesef, ve'oymer lo hareyat mekudeshesli. Adept, but the kesef alone doesn't do it. You've got to say something. Great question. How can you devalue her if you don't own her? We're going to come to that in a moment. Great question. How can you devalue her? But that's what you're doing. So says Rashi, so how do you devalue her? Notice, remember we pointed out in the opening last week, what word is missing? When we do it at the Chupak Bitarat, Mekudeshes, Libetabazu, Bekesef Zeh. And that Rashi says you don't need. You just say Hareyat Mekudeshesli. So therefore the Kesef is not the vehicle of Kiddushin according to Rashi. Would you agree with that? If the kesef was the vehicle, he would have to say, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, Bezeh, this money will affect the Kiddushin. Why does he have to give a kesef altogether is the question. And the Rambam, he's got to be noisim la kesef, and he's got to say. So according to Rashi, two things are happening here. The Rambam says in Perek Gimel that he's got to say Bezeh. So the Rambam is learning differently. The Rambam is learning everything is done by the kesef. And the dibur is just to explain what I'm doing. Harat mekudeshli bezeh. This money that I'm giving you, that's what does the kiddushin. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says he's got to say harat mekudeshli, just as you've got to say harezeh hektish. You can't create kiddushin. You can't create kiddusho without an amiro. So there's got to be an amiro. If the amiro is what makes a hektish, we have two questions. Number one, how can you be makdish something that doesn't belong to you? And number two, what's the role of the money? But that question answers that question. Isn't that right? The role of the money is to make her his so that he can be Mekadisha. So he acquires through the kesef the rights to her das, because you can't be makdish something with das. I can't come and be makdish you. How can you be makdish somebody else? I can't be makdish something that belongs to you. She gives her das up in return for the money, so to say. And he can then say, now that he has acquired, now we know what the balus is. He's acquired the rights to her. Now that he owns the rights, he can be Mekadesh her. That's Rashi. What I've explained now is Rashi.
Rashi doesn't say
correct. So the kesef, so what is the kesef?
He
has to give her the kesef. Why? You see what the kesef does from the Rashi of a koneh atzmo. So when he's koina her, it's the opposite of when she's koina herself. What does she get when she's koina herself? The rights. She gets rights back. So what was he koina with the kesef? With the kesef, he was koina rights. Now that he's got the rights, he can be mekadesh. and he's Mekadisha, not L'Shamayim, he's Mekadisha to himself. And says, you're exclusive to me, but there's got to be an Amira, there's got to be a Dibur. Whereas according to the Rambam, the Dibur is subservient to the Kinyan. The Kinyan, the Kesef, is the main thing, and the Dibur is just to explain the Kinyan. So in a way, according to the Rambam, the Mishnah reads better, because it says, she's nicknamed, it's B'Kesef, it doesn't say B'Amira. Rashi adds the Amira, says, because the Kesef alone doesn't do it. The Kesef only creates the conditions for the Amira, and it's the Dibur, it's the Amira which really makes her Mekudeshes. And that's why the amount, because all that we really want to see is that he gives and she takes. By accepting, she is communicating, I'm giving something up. I'm receiving something in payment for something I'm giving up. What I'm giving up is not myself, and it's not my being, and it's not my worth or my value. It's simply my rights to make a choice. I'm willing to give that away for a pruta, but I've given it away. Once I've given it away, I want to hear the words. Arayat mekudeshesli, then that the amira makes me into a mekudeshes. Would seem to be how Rashi's learning. Let's go on in the Rashi. Absolutely she can. You mean? And what's the matter with the money? Then she would have to give the money back. Then she would have to give the money back. But to take the money, it would seem that she can't say that. That if she accepts the money in front of Adim, she's Mekudeshes. Because she's given up her rights of choice, and now he has the rights to be Mekadeshes. And that's why she doesn't have to say Amen or Hain to the Mekudeshes. One would think that if she has Das, she's going to agree to it, if it's a transaction. So the Amira is unilateral. The Kinyan is bilateral. So you've got two pieces happening. There's a bilateral piece, which is the Kinyan, and then there's a unilateral piece, which is the kind of Hektish, the Amira that does what a Neder does, that does what Hektish does, where Amira is able to convert somebody from one thing into another. Kesef can't do that. Kesef doesn't convert. Sorry?
Does she have to do any action to be torn into Kesef?
She has to accept it. She has to take it into her hand. Yeah, but we say that by putting out your finger, we say under the chuppah, by putting out your finger and accepting the ring, you're indicating your acceptance of the marriage. The Masada Kiddushin should say that to her, that she actually understands that she's being mekabel, and in that kabbalah of the bilateral transaction, she has now given something up, allowing him to say harayat mekudeshesli. Of course, we do it like the Rambam. We say betabazus, and we might not be doing it like Rashi altogether. That's another, but we'll explore the Rambam further. Bio is the interesting one. Because now, what happens with Bio? How does it work with Bio? So if he's going to use Bio as one of the kinyonim, which we know that he can, so he can't have Bio with her if she's not Mekudeshes. He can't be Mekadesher if he doesn't own her, if he doesn't own rights to her. He can't own rights to her unless there's been a kinyon. There hasn't been a kinyon because Bio is the kinyon. So what happens now?
Rashi says he's buying that first. he does the B.N. then he says he's Kachi believe the B.A.Z.U. After.
He says that in front of Adam, and they go into a room privately.
Yeah, it's not afterwards, although Rashi puts it out, it's not afterwards, but what's important is that by B.O. Rashi says the B.A.Z.U. So by Kesef, you don't have to say the Kesef Zeh, because it's not the Kesef that's creating the Kiddushin, it's the Amira that's creating the Kiddushin. So I'm giving you the Kesef, and then the Amira will create the Kiddushin.
Can you be Mekadosher with a Shtar?
Yes. Yeah. We'll talk about the Shtar in a moment. So we'll come to the Shtar after the B.S. So Kesef we now understand. By Kesef is the bilateral piece. By your accepting the Kesef, you're giving up the rights. By giving up the rights, I obtain the rights to be Mekadishu. I'm Mekadishu with Amira, and the thing is complete. By Bio, that doesn't work. Because by Bio, I can't have the Bio unless I've been Mekadishu. I can't be Mekadishu unless there's been a Kinyan. There can't be a Kinyan because Bio is the Kinyan. So you've got a circular situation where nothing can happen before anything else. So everything has to happen simultaneously with the Bio itself. The Bio has to be everything. By accepting to have Bio with me, you're doing simultaneously the bilateral transaction and the Kiddushin. But it's the Bio, it's not the Amira. Because the Amira comes before the Bio. The Amira can't do it. That's why I've got to say, before the Bio I say, Harayat Mekudeshesli, but it's not these words. Because the words don't mean anything here because I don't have ownership of you. So I can't say Harayat Mekudeshesli because we haven't had Bio yet. I can't have Bio because you're not Mekudeshes. So in Bio you've got to have it simultaneously. That's why Rashi says, by Bio you've got to say Harayat Mekudeshesli, Bevi Azu. Yeah, but it would be difficult to say that he has the Bia first and then afterwards he says, it can't shili bevi yezu. Because he says that to the Eidim beforehand, in front of the Eidim beforehand, and then they have Bia. What about Shtar? There's got to be an understanding of what the purpose of it is. That's again, according to the Rambam, that's the whole meaning of saying Harayat Mekudeshesli, is to clarify what the purpose of this money is.
Exactly. So, but it can happen after the fact. I mean, we get needed. Take the money, because Harayat Mekudeshesli,
she says no,
in front of Eidim, says Mafi Tom. So that refusal alone, according to Rashi, would be okay.
Yeah, she would have to show that she had no idea that it was about Kiddushin. If we have reason to believe that she knows very well this is about Kiddushin, they were talking about Kiddushin, they're standing under a chuppah with 500 people at the wedding, she's wearing a wedding dress, she takes the chuppah, and then she says, I didn't know this was for a wedding. That's not going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
In the case of Bia. No, but Kesef Damir is not before. Damir is not before. Because they're all happening simultaneously. So he says, Harayat Mekudeshesli, and that's Chal, all Chal at the same time. It's not as if one is Chal and then the other one is Chal. How would the Amir, so if he gives it to her beforehand, then you would have the problem of does she really know what it is and what she knows. Don't forget, also today the way we do it is we do it like the Rambam. We say Harayat Mekudeshes li betabazu. So the purpose of the Amira and the way we do Chuppah and Kiddushin is the purpose of the Amira is to clarify the Kinyan, but everything is in the Kinyan. That's why we say You would have to say it's simultaneous. You would have to say that they're happening at the same time. You're right. It can't happen afterwards, because if it happens afterwards, the Kinyan could be meaningless. So the Kinyan has to be, she has to understand exactly what the Kinyan is, because the Dibur then certainly is fulfilling both purposes. It's creating clarity as far as what the Kinyan is for, and it's also the Maisa Amira. But the Amira, can you give the Kiddushin? At the end of the day, he's got to clarify what he's buying with that ring. And so if he were to say, I'm buying the rights to be Mekadesh you with this ring, and then he says, Harayat Mekadesh, that maybe would work. That would be like they were Iskin Beisuinian before the Kiddushin. Doesn't have to be that exact Loshon. Because if there's nothing at all, then what is he doing? So he has to clarify to her that she understands that by accepting this ring, I'm giving away that. But there still has to be an amira that has a din of loshen, not too dissimilar from the din of loshen that applied to a neder. Why? So according to Rashi, you're saying it should be dafka the other way around. According to Rashi, he should do the Kinyan completely, and then he should say Harayat Mekudeshesli.
By giving him the kesef, that gives him the right to then say Harayat. She doesn't have that. She hasn't given up her
dust. Yes, but Rav Simon is saying, but in that case, that should all happen, that should be there before, then he should acquire that right before.
Right.
So the question is, he has to say something before. If he doesn't explain what he's purchasing, then the Kinyan has no meaning at all. So he's got to say something. So even if he says Harayat Mekudeshesli, when he just says, if he says Harayat Mekudeshesli before the Kinyan, that Amira doesn't have any chalos, because he hasn't been created the right. If he says it afterwards, there's a question of what her intention was with the Kinyan. We don't even know what was meant by the Kinyan. So really what's happening, it's almost as if there's an extended Amira. He starts, he says the Amira, clarifying what the Maaseh is. He does the Maaseh, and the Chalos of the Amira, according to Rashi, would seem to be after the Maaseh, or simultaneously with the Maaseh. It's interesting, when we look at Bia and Shtar, they're simultaneous. It's possible that by Kesef they're simultaneous as well. Just as Bia by Bia, we say that you can't have one before the other. There can't be a Bia without Kiddushin, there can't be Kiddushin without a Kinyan, there can't be a Kinyan without Bia. So what happens first? So the answer is, Arayat Mekudesh is Liba Bia Zu. As I do the Bia, everything happens at one go. Nothing's happened. It seems to be that it all happens at once. We see the same with Shtar. Let's just look at Shtar for a moment. Shtar, Rashi says also, you don't have to say B'Shtar Zeh. Right? Some Rishonim say you have to say B'Shtar Zeh. Harayat Mekudesh is B'Shtar Zeh. Rashi says you don't have to say anything. You just give it to her. How do you give it to her? Because it's written in it. It says in the Shtar, Harayat Mekudesh Isli. So the Chiddush of Shtar, which we learn from Gittin, from the Yotzev HaHoso, we learn the Chiddush of Shtar is that the written word works as well as an Amira, which is different from the Dorim and Hektish. So here you can do it just by writing it. You don't have to actually pronounce it. So that's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush of Shtar. So where does she give up her rights? So again, we see that in the handing over of the Shtar, her acceptance of the Shtar, what's important in that piece is that it's bilateral. That's what it's not important how much it is and did he pay money for it. That's not what's important. What's important is that he gives and she receives. If it's Bekesef, then it's got to be something that has a Shem Kesef. It has to be a Prusa or more. If it's a Shtar, then that's also good. He gives a Shtar, she receives a Shtar. So Aidin can see the bilateral nature. Aidin can see he gives, she takes. So she's given something in return. What is she given? She's given him the right to be Mekadeshah. And his Mekadeshah, she doesn't have to then acquiesce to the Kiddushin. She, by accepting the Shtar, she does that. So it's possible that the Kesef is also simultaneous. Although we say, Arayat Mekudesh, it's possible that it all happens at once. But it's not that one happens and then another happens. There has to be a bilateral, the two things happening simultaneously. He obtains the rights to her exclusivity through the exchange of Kesef Shtar or Bia. And at the same time, he is Mekadesh her unilaterally through the statement of Arayat Mekudeshesli.
Later on, whatever the reason is, like he says, Rashi says specifically the Omar, that it seems like a past tense. When he talks about Kesef, he says specifically, Noisim la Kesef or Shavah Kesef, the Omer. So they're both present tense. They're both happening. It sounds like they're happening simultaneously. Noisim, the Omer.
Right.
So it's happening at the same time.
And by Bia, it isn't the same time.
Not at all. He said the Omar.
He's got to say that before.
Whatever the case is, yeah, but he changes the tense of the verb.
He doesn't say Arayat Mekudesh. It's his kad. He says his kad. That's interesting. That difference in Lashon. It is a different Lashon. Can you be Matish Ekesh? I don't think so. Can you be Matish? I think you've got to say. I don't think you can. Is there Matlokes in Shtar in what you can do with a Shtar?
Is this Kadshi past
tense? No, his Kadshi is an imperative. I'm instructing you to do this. Please. Please be Miskadeshis to me. Please be Miskadeshis to me.
You spend money on the Shtar, you don't equate spending money on the Shtar as Kesef.
No, so that, there's a discussion. Does the Shtar have to be worth the Prut, or is it okay if the Shtar is worth nothing? And we come to the conclusion that either the Shtar can be worth nothing, there doesn't have to be any value in the Shtar. It's just the words of the Shtar themselves is what really does it. I thought that it depends whether she's agreeing to the pruta. She can say, I want more than a pruta, but if she accepts less than a pruta, it's not halal.
Because why? Because what does he have afterwards?
He's got the exclusivity. Anybody who buys exclusivity is willing to pay whatever the person who's selling the exclusivity demands if he wants it. So she can set the price. I just want to go one step further so that you've got material to try and put together. If we look at firstly at the role of this kicho, where do we get it from that there's got to be amira at all? where did this come from? Have you thought of that? Where did it come from? The Gemara then goes into where we get the Kinyan Kesef from, and where do we get the Kinyan Shtar from, and where do we get the Kinyan Bir from? Where does it come from? We've got a Braisa further on in the Gemara that there's got to be Amira, but where do we learn Amira from? Why
the he says
to Ephraim, because he says something to Ephraim, he doesn't just give it. Yeah, okay. Is that for the case? Yeah, we should learn that you need Amira even in the case of Karka. Where does it come from? What is the role of Amira? Where does the Braisa get it from that you've got to have Amira? It might be, what might be interesting is that the word Kicho in the Torah has two meanings. Kicho means acquiring, to be like something, to acquire something. But sometimes in the Torah we talk about Kocheyu Bidvorim. You remember that? Like with Lekocho Bidvorim. When you're talking about persuading a human being, vayikach korach, there are many cases of the many cases where Rashi brings lekochoy bidvorim. How do you take a human being? You take a human being with words. It's interesting that in English you say that as well. I was taken. What does that mean? I was taken. And somebody persuaded me to do something that wasn't a good thing to do. I was taken. Kicho means to seduce somebody. Kicho means to persuade somebody as well, to take somebody's mind, to take somebody's intention. So right in the very word of ki yikoch ish isho, it's quite interesting that there might be the understanding both of a commercial transaction, and when you're dealing with human beings, you can't just take somebody, you can't just buy somebody. When you're taking somebody, you've got to take their mind with them, you've got to take their intention, you've got to actually persuade them into the process, and that's part of what kicho is. The last point just to be omed on is the kesef and the shove kesef. You'll have noticed in Tosfos the question of why do we need, Tosfos asks, where do we learn from the shove kesef works? And that's an interesting question that Tosfos deals. How do you know from the shove kesef works? What about in commercial transactions? Is there any question where the shove kesef works? You want to buy whatever it is from me, you want to buy my sefer, and you say, I'm not going to give you money for it, but I'm willing to give you whatever it is. I'm willing to give you my watch in return for your sefer. Not as a chalipin, but instead of the money, the value of my watch, I'm going to buy the sefer. And I say, fine, there's no problem with that. If kesef is simply a bilateral agreement, why should we need psukim? So this goes out of his way to figure out where do we learn from that shove kesef works. The Ran says we don't need psukim. It's obvious that shove kesef works. If she's willing to take shove kesef, why shouldn't it work? It's a transaction. So in the Ran and Tosfos, we're also seeing two things happening. What are we seeing? According to Tosfos, why does Tosfos think we need psukim for that? Because the kesef is not just an acquisition, according to Tosfos. The kesef is what changes her status. How does the Rambam learn? What changes her status? The Rambam. Harayad mekudeshes li betabazu bekesef zeh. He says the kesef changes the status, the dibur is mevare, what you're doing, but it's the kesef that changes the status. According to the way the Rambam learns, where the kesef is what changes her status from an isha into an ashes ish, so then Tosfos says, where do we know from them? We need psukim for that. That kesef can do that in this case. Just as we learn for Evid Ivri, in the case of Evid Ivri, kesef changes status. And the other case that Tosfos talks about is Pidyon HaBein. And Erechim, these are all cases where kesef changes status. So we need psukim for kesef changing status. The Ran says we need psukim for Eved Ivri because there's a question of Bal Kocha, and Eved can buy his way out, and the owner has to accept it. It's not bilateral, it's unilateral. In the case of Nezikin, it's also unilateral to an extent, says the Ran, because the Nizak can insist on Meitav. He can insist on, even it's not just a matter of how much the property is worth, he can make his selection and choose the best of the property. And that's not bilateral, that's unilateral. So since there's a unilateral nature to that, we need psukim. So the Ran, but here this is not unilateral. The kesef, if the Ran is learning like Rashi, then the role of kesef is the bilateral transaction. If it's bilateral, I don't need psukim. Are you with me on that? If it's bilateral, then shove kesef should depend on whether the two agree to it or not. So bilateral, she's accepting something that he's giving him, and as long as she accepts it, we've got the acceptance. That's what we want to see. We want to see him give and she take, and she agrees that that's, then clearly she's giving something in return for that. What is she giving? She's giving her, her rights to him, her rights of exclusivity. But according to the way the Rambam learns, that the Kesef is what does the Kiddushin, the Kesef does everything. All the Dibur does is clarifies what it is that he's doing. If the Kesef changes her status, then Kesef is not just a transaction, this is not commercial. The Kesef creates the change in status, the Kesef converts her from an ordinary Isha into an Ashes Ish. And we need Sukkim for that. We need to know that from Sukkim. So if you go through Tosfos and you go through the Ran, you see the different approaches, we might already see evolving these different lines in the Rishonim. The one line that in Kesef, the one line is the two things are happening simultaneously. There's a bilateral transaction and there's a unilateral declaration. That's really the way we're understanding Rashi. They're happening simultaneously. There's a bilateral transaction and a unilateral declaration. According to the way we're learning in the Rambam, there's only one thing happening, and that is a bilateral transaction from which everything else flows, and the declaration is just a biru. The declaration merely clarifies the intention, because you need kavona for kiddushin, and how will we know what's in his head if he doesn't tell us that would be the case. In Gittin, do you need dibur? Do you need amira in Gittin? You actually do. You actually need Amira in Gittin. Gemara in Gittin says, the Mishnah in Gittin says you do need Amira. You've got to say, Ha Gittin, this is your get. The interesting, even if there's a shtef, the interesting thing is by Gittin, he's got to say Ha Gittin, but he doesn't have to say it to her. He can say it to Aidin, and that works. So the role of the declaration in get is completely different. It's not that the Amira changes the status. The get changes the status. What is the Amira for? The Gemara says there that she understands completely that this is over. That she doesn't come back because it's got to be the Sholcha. And the only way she can understand, he has a very important limud lamaisa, the only way she can understand that it's over is if he says it. It's okay if he says it to the Edim and the Edim say, we heard him say it, but he's got to say it. It won't help to write that in a shtar, and it won't help to send an email or a text message. It doesn't work. So it's a really important thing, because people don't get emotions in a written form. They've got it. Sorry. If you can't speak, then they would have to indicate. Would have to be very clear. There's an interesting shaylas about that. Also by kiddushin. What happens if she can't hear or he can't speak? What happens with the communication? But by Gittin, it's so that she won't be a chizeris, that she won't think that she can come back, that it's not really over. It's necessary for him to actually articulate it. So that's the role of articulation in Gittin, and according to the Rambam, that might be kind of the role of the articulation here, that you know absolutely what my kavona is. I've articulated. Hare at mekudeshesli. That's what it is. But what are you mekudeshesli by? Not by the Amira, but Kesef Zeh. That's what's creating the Kiddushin. If the Kesef is creating the Kiddushin, we need Psukim to tell us that Kesef can create Kiddushin, which is our Tosfos learning. According to Rashi, it says, Harei at Mekudeshes, not the Kesef Zeh. The Kesef is separate. If the Kesef is separate, then the Amira creates the Kiddushin on its own, if the conditions have been made available. If the Amira is creating the Kiddushin, the Kesef is just the transaction. For that, I don't need a special limud to tell me that it's Shoveh Kesef, that the Shoveh Kesef will work. Now the dibur is in the words. It's interesting that for real clarity, that to know that to really get the message, it's interesting that it doesn't work. But although by kiddushin it works, but we can talk about that. Just two things to clarify. Next week I'm actually going to be flying in the evening, so there are 2 weeks that applies to. What we wanted to check is there a possibility next week to learn in the morning instead of the evening? We can do it whatever time you want, right after davening, a little bit later. Whatever, we can do it at 9:30. We can do it. We can do it at 9 or 10. Sorry. Another night won't be an option next week. I'm going to be away then for 10 days. On the Sunday night, the 9th, we're going to set up a Skype over here. So we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll try some high technology, and we're going to try just using that, even if it's not a full length shiur, at least so that we keep the Seder going and that we can keep moving ahead. And I'll send you what to focus on for next. I'll send you by email what to focus on for next week. But how many people could make it, or who could not make it, let's say at 9:30 on next Wednesday? On next Sunday morning. Instead of the close, some people can't make, so we're probably going to postpone the close. Yeah, the next Sunday morning, how many people cannot make? A lot of people cannot make 9:30. And 10 o'clock also not. 10 o'clock? How many people cannot make 10 o'clock? Also. After davening, what time would that be like? 8:30? How many people cannot make it at 8:30? Okay, so the question then is our assignment, do we do it nevertheless? We'll put it on the website and people can hear. Do we do it at what time? 8:30? Right after the 8 o'clock minion, would that be okay? Can we do it after the 7:30 minion? Okay, so we'll do it after the 7:30 minion. We'll record it and put it up so those people who can't make it will be on recording, and then we'll do it long distance the second time, and then we'll be back to the usual, to normal right after that. Are there anybody whose email address I don't have, if you can give that to me to make sure that I can get you the information that you need for the show?